We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Yankee Report with Sweeney Murdy is brought to you by your Tri-State Mercedes dealers. Shop online, over the phone, or in person at your local Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealers. By Interstate Batteries, Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. By Wallauer's Paint and Design and Ace Hardware Stores. Visit shopwallauer.com for online ordering. Well, we were treated to the national anthem sung by one Susan Waldman last night from the broadcast booth. Can Sweeney Murdy be far behind?
Oh, God, I sure hope so. I hope I'm very, very far behind.
That's pretty cool. That's
another
first.
50 years.
Yeah, well.
Listen, I've heard, I remember hearing Susan sing before a Knicks game years ago, but I've never been there in person for it. Just fabulous, outstanding, and I was thinking about this when you see the prop bets at the Super Bowl and how long the national anthem is going to be, and some people lose their houses before kickoff. It's usually somewhere like close to 2 minutes, I think. Well, Susan, I think, nailed it in less than a minute and a half, just the way it should be.
Yeah, and years ago, back before the dawn of time, Susan would come on my show around Christmas and sing "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas"
a cappella. Recordings of those, yep.
Yeah, and she was great. And for those who don't know, Susan was a Broadway actress. I mean, she played Aldonza Dulcinea in Man of La Mancha. I mean, she was quite the accomplished singer and actress. So this is, my wife was going, boy, people will be surprised. And I said, no, Susan has been a singer. She's a pro.
Well,
she
it was
could
funny.
Have done
some
that.
People were. I mean, I was watching the reaction of some of the players who were standing on the first baseline, and they were turning around and looking at the booth, like during the anthem, like, "Wow, really?" I noticed Aaron Judge tipping his cap and giving a salute, and Gleyber Torres turned around, and of course, Gerrit Cole was the one who kind of spearheaded this. The story, for those who haven't heard, is that years ago, when Susan was talking to the young Pirates pitcher Gerrit Cole, she said, "Well, you're going to make a great Yankee when you become a free agent." And he said, "All right, what if I do? You have to sing the national anthem on opening day," because they had shared stories, obviously, about Susan's career and things like that. So it was promise kept last night before the Yankees and Red Sox home opener.
I did not know that. That's a
really?
Great story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a great story. And that makes me elevates Gerrit Cole even more, in my opinion. Well, another guy you got to like is Jordan Montgomery. Despite the Red Sox not really having much of a pitching staff, they can hit, and he throttled them pretty well last night.
Yeah, I thought last night, it struck me last night. I'm watching Jordan Montgomery, and I mentioned this postgame. He wears number 47. Well, there are moments last night where he looked like number 46. He looked like Andy Pettit, where some guys would get on, and he'd get out of it with a double play. And he'd make the right pitch at the right time to keep it from getting out of control. And he's throwing harder than I remember him throwing a few years ago. And just the ability, the confidence he showed really at the end of summer camp in that game against the Mets, he knew it was close. He knew that he was, he came back at the end of last season, but that's after, 18 months of rehab and you're just making your way back. Like, you could tell at the end of that Mets exhibition that he knew that he had made it all the way back, and it was ready to get real. And, you could tell last night meant something for him. And even after the game, he's talking about, he has finally made it back here, and he's answering a question about his teammate Tommy Kahnle, who is headed likely for Tommy John, and the road back. And he's, you know, he's basically saying, you know, you just have to remember that it gets lonely sometimes, and that's what you have to kind of push through, because your rest of your team is off, you know, doing what they do, and you're on this, you know, road to recovery with trainers and doctors and things, and sometimes that gets long. But I think you saw the payoff for it with him specifically last night. I think he felt all of that, being able to take the mound and win the game last night.
Yeah, and that's the good news. Bad news with the pitchers, you know, Tanaka going to come back with headgear probably, and Aroldis Chapman now has tested negative and will be coming soon. But Kahnle is probably going to need Tommy John, and that's a setback. But, I mean, if any team is deep enough, certainly in the bullpen, to withstand that, it's the New York Yankees.
Well, you know, I've mentioned this a couple of times, and you're right, but, you know, the Yankees spent a lot of money on their bullpen. They designed their bullpen, and I don't think they designed it for the idea of, okay, well, if we lose somebody, we have somebody else. I mean, they designed it to throw all of these arms at you on almost a nightly basis. You know, not everybody, they have Gerrit Cole now, who can save the bullpen on a lot of nights, but most of these guys are not designed or built for going that deep into ball games, nor do they want them to, with the, you know, the way they've set up their team and the health concerns for the starting pitchers. So, sure, they can withstand some of it, but right now they are without both Kahnle and Chapman. You mentioned Chapman's on his way back, but we don't know exactly when yet. So their bullpen depth has taken a hit, and you have, you know, Chad Green threw two innings last night, so he is, you know, he's not going to be there for you tonight. So you know that depth takes a hit kind of quickly when you lose an arm or two, and it's, you know, to me it was never about, you know, hey, this, we have a spare in case we lose one. This was designed to win games late, and that's what you see get affected when these situations pop up.
Yeah, but they do have the offense to make up for it if they do stutter a little bit. I mean, here goes Judge with another home run, and Gardner and a shell hitting home run. So this team is loaded, and I don't think they have, well, against Baltimore, I mean, they're going to do what they do against Baltimore. But, you know, this offense is just going to be explosive all year. I don't see any way around that.
Yeah, and listen, it's nice to see Judge and Stanton. You know, one of the things I was on with I was on with JJ a couple of weeks ago, and he asked me what's one thing that you kind of want to see from the Yankees as the season begins. And I said, well, I think one thing we really haven't seen for any length of time is Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez all healthy. Sanchez is not off to the start that Judge and Stanton are. It's the exact opposite. But if he's healthy, I think it's a matter of time before he starts joining that party. And that's something we haven't really seen very much of the last couple of years because of the injury situation with these guys. So Judge and Stanton are off to good starts. It's fun too, Richard, watching the way these at-bats work. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, the people who don't like that the Yankees score all their runs via home run. But I watched some, just specifically in the last two games, watching the way some of these at-bats set up. Luke Voit's grand slam in Baltimore a couple of nights ago. That at-bat was setting up. Means was setting him up for a changeup in the at-bat with, you know, there's obviously bases are loaded. There's no place to put him. But you can tell he's throwing fastballs up and in. And he's trying to get to that changeup, and he threw it and hung it. And, you know, Voit, you're not supposed to poke that one into right field, not where it was placed, you know. You swing, and it goes over the fence. Judge the other night, not last night, two nights ago, the eighth inning homer he hit in Baltimore, he again got to a point where it was a 3-1 count. And, you know, two men on, you need to throw a strike, fastball over. Again, not something you're going to poke into right field for an RBI single. Brett Gardner last night, he got to, I think it was 3-1, and a curveball, hung a curveball. Again, not something you just poke the other way for a hit. He smashed it. What these guys do is, and I know, you know, they get themselves in accounts where they know they can get pitches or hope to get pitches that they can, quote-unquote, do damage with. And when you talk about the Yankees wanting to work the count, that's what we like about the Yankee offense for years and years, right, is you take pitches and you work the count. Well, you're working the count so you can get to a point where you get a pitch you know you can do something with. The guys who, you know, hit the singles the other way, they're usually swinging early in the count. And I think that's a big difference in what they're doing. Now, does it have a downside? Could it get shut down? Yeah, absolutely. We've seen it. But I think just watching the last few nights, those three homers that I was talking about, it kind of illustrates the plan behind getting to the point where you hit the three-run homer or the grand slam. That was kind of interesting for me to watch the last three nights.
Sure, and one of the things with that, too, is you keep the chase rate down. You set yourself up to get in those counts by not going after first-pitch sliders a foot outside. That's the goal.
You see what happens is when the pitcher gets ahead, you end up, in the spurts where Sanchez or even, Gardner up until before last night or Stanton when he's been going bad in the past, you see these guys chasing the breaking balls out of the zone. Well, when you're taking a lot of pitches, chances are sometimes you're going to get to two strikes and you're not afraid to hit with two strikes. So when you get to two strikes, the pitcher is in an advantageous position where he can throw it out of the zone. So a lot of times you see, why did they chase? Well, you get to that point in the count and, sometimes, even the best hitters will do that.
Yeah. Well, they're talking on the game about that very thing, about, setting up the pitchers, so to speak. So it's a whole different story. The thing that's impressed me a lot, too, is, I've got the schedule in front of me, and
is it movable? What do you call the? Do you remember those little games where it came in a square and the tiles? You'd move the tiles around to make a picture.
No, that's way before my time.
No,
way before my time. Yeah, no, sweetie, I don't relate to that kind of stuff. But I know what you're talking about.
Move them around, and I think that's the way the schedule is made, because you can just kind of move the squares around. You have one open square in the middle, so you can move all the pieces around and make something that fits.
Yeah, well, it's sort of we call it Photoshop. But the thing that's impressed me is the fact that they don't even know where they're going. And okay, well, we were supposed to play the Phillies. Well, we can't play the Phillies. Well, go to Baltimore. Now Baltimore are their patsies, and they enjoy playing Baltimore. But
yeah, I don't think they had a hard time making that unanimous vote to go play the Yankees.
Yeah, it's like it's not far away, and it's a place they just eat up that place. But here we go now. This week, after the Red Sox series, they have three games scheduled with the Orioles. Well, they've already played two of those games that they weren't supposed to play.
Yep.
So I'm thinking Phillies come to New York for two games. Then they go to Philly if that ballpark is disinfected enough for two games, and you play a seven-inning doubleheader sometime over the weekend against Tampa. Do you think that's pretty much the way it's going to shake out?
That's what Aaron Boone told us was likely the plan a couple of days ago, but the schedule has not been updated for that yet. As far as the official schedule goes, the Yankees are still off Monday and Tuesday, playing Wednesday in Baltimore, and then playing a four-game series Thursday to Sunday in Tampa. Now, the way you described it is the way it is apparently going to be reconfigured, but I think they have to wait because the Phillies haven't been cleared yet. So, they're still obviously haven't played. So until that situation resolves, I don't think they can maneuver the schedule officially yet. And when that happens, yeah, it seems to be a doubleheader sometime next weekend. And that game in Baltimore goes away, and they, maybe that gets made up as part of a doubleheader in one of the other, the next time they go, which is sometime in September, I believe. So, I don't know when that part gets settled and how many more times you're going to have to do this. A week into the season, you are shifting around. And, really the remarkable part, and the players all talked about it very calmly and matter-of-factly, was, okay, they got to Philadelphia, couldn't play. They turned on a dime, and they literally changed directions because they sent their equipment truck to New York because they thought they were going to go home and have a workout. And then they called and said, wait a second, can you turn around and go to Baltimore instead? So the truck turned around and went to Baltimore and met him there. And then they had a workout down there. And they didn't miss a beat. You know, we can make the jokes about the Orioles, but it's still hard to just kind of reconfigure everything. Think about your own life when one little thing in travel goes wrong and you just kind of, you know, it kind of throws you off, right? Well, they don't seem to get thrown off right now. And that's it's part of a big reason why they're 5-1 right now.
Sweeney, they have these things called CBs, and they go, 10-4, good, buddy. Could you turn around and go to Baltimore on the turnpike instead of New York? 10-4, okay. And they turn
it's
around
like
and
do we it. Got ourselves a convoy.
There you go. Well,
my favorite song when I was 5.
Yeah, if you were 7, you probably wouldn't have appreciated it as much, I think. But here's the thing with the Marlins. I mean, now that we know, or we're told from various sources, the Marlins were out at the hotel bar having a good old time while they were in Atlanta. And now 21 of the 29 Major League people who have tested positive are on a certain unspecified team, which happens to play in Miami. I would, at this point, just tell the Marlins, pack up your stuff. You are not going to play this year. You know, you ignored the protocols. You put the rest of you put the whole sport in danger. Your punishment, no more games. Now, I don't think they will do that, but I think they should. What's your take?
Well, I think it, you know, you take one team out, it really disrupts the schedule.
Well,
it's not designed that way. That's the hard part. I understand your point. I don't think they'll do that, but I think it's illustrating. I mean, you know, we've talked about just watching on field, the players don't follow the protocols as they are written. And they were written between the Players Association and the league because player safety was deemed a big concern, and rightly so. But if they're not following them as they're written, whether it's on the field or off, I mean, that's on them. You know, these are adults. They've been told what to do, and they've been, you know, you know, people were saying, well, you're blaming the players. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, this isn't about, listen, and I'm as big a players guy as you'll find. And, you know, during the whole squawking back and forth, you know, I took
yeah,
the
you
players
on their side.
I took the players' side more than the owners almost every time. But at this point, you know, you've made the rules, you've made the concessions, and you're paying the players. It's on them to make sure they see through everything that they're supposed to do. They're grown men, they're adults, act like it. And if you can't, well, you've just seen how many people, how many different people and different teams you can affect with those actions.
Well, Sweeney, I think they need, and I hate to say this because I don't like, you know, martial law here, but I think they need to have an enforcement officer in the dugout. And, you know, guy hits a home run, you say, okay, guys, no high fives. You're not going to be doing that. Guys, they may have to mandate putting masks on while you're in the dugout. Sit apart from each other. You know, these things, don't spit out tobacco or sunflower seeds. I mean, these things that they've been told not to do. And I don't blame them to the extent that, you know, when you have a habit and you're just used to doing things, you just don't think about it. And then you go, oh, wait a minute, I shouldn't have done that. But you maybe need somebody there to remind them. And I don't think you need to burden the manager with having that responsibility because he's got enough on his mind otherwise. What do you think?
Well, and listen, this, you mentioned habits, and that's really what this is. It's about breaking habits. And this isn't about changing your entire lifestyle forever. It's about seeing this goal. If you really had this goal of playing this sport and making your money for the next 2 months, you know, you have to be serious about how you do this and about how you go about enforcing it. And if it's, you know, the Yankees have talked about it, it's players holding each other accountable on their end and making sure that they, you know, that they remember the masks here and there. But, you know, to your point about high-fiving, I mean, it's written in the rules, you know. I shouldn't say rules. They're all considered guidelines and recommendations. And so far, you know, those have been very loose. But, you know, last night was a Friday night, a week into the season. There should have been 30 teams in action. There were 6 teams that couldn't play last night because of all the way things happened. A week from now, is it 6 more teams? And what's the magic number for this to shut down? Or, as you say, pull teams out. You know, at some point, do you say, okay, four teams, sorry, you've been eliminated, and you know we'll go on without you. And then you have to redo the entire schedule again. I don't know how that works. So, yeah, I think there has to be a call for diligence here, and I think that's what yesterday was about with Rob Manfred, Tony Clark, and again, you know, these players are adults. You have to, you have to expect that they're going to, if you give them that responsibility, I think you have to expect that they're going to, or hope that they're going to act like it and take this seriously for the 2 months that they have to.
Well, Manfred said, hey, if we don't change things by Monday, the season could be over. And I don't know if it was an idle threat, but it was like, hey, guys, here are the facts of life. You either do this or season's over.
Well, I think it was just a warning shot. As I said, you had six teams inactive yesterday. And, if that grows to 10 or 12 in another week.
Can't play.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, 20% of the games so far have been postponed. So that's not good. All right, Sween, thank you. We'll talk again soon, hopefully about baseball next weekend.
We'll
see how it shakes out.
Another game tonight. I'm on 6 o'clock before the game tonight, Yankees-Red Sox.
Okay, looking forward to it. Sweeney Murdy talking Yankees.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.